bless you as we read His Word together.
We're looking at three passages of Scripture. So please take a Bible, even if it's a pew Bible, and bring it out. Allow the Word of God to be exposed to your mind and heart. The first is found in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 to 15, but our focus is on verses 14 and 15. James 1, 12 to 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved or tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And then if you would turn to Hebrews. Go to your left in the Bible, the next book to your left, which is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, speaking of the Lord and His ability to help us in our times of temptation. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There's something comforting about the fact that the Lord Himself was tempted in the same way in all points as we are. And then 1 Corinthians. Go further to your left. Several books. Right after Romans, you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Another promise of God concerning temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, we have worshipped You this morning, both by singing songs and listening to songs and in our prayers. Now, Lord, we invite You to do something in us. Would You speak to us about our own weaknesses and vulnerabilities? Speak to us about the struggle with sin and temptation. Lord, show us ourselves. We need to know and understand how to live godly in Christ Jesus. Lord, I lay this before You this morning with full knowledge that Satan hates these messages that reveal the hidden things of darkness and that expose his hand in our lives. And so we appeal to the throne of God. We appeal to You, Lord, to hinder the hinderer. Stop the tempter. Deliver us from evil. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things I want to share with you this morning about temptation, because as we consider some Scripture, it's often very easy for us to exempt ourselves. We hear a message about sin, and we say, well, I didn't have any struggle this week, so that's not for me. We hear a message about some other issue, and if it doesn't pertain to us that particular week, we kind of cast it off. But when we come to the matter of temptation, there's not one of us that can be excused and say, that doesn't pertain to me. We want to look at these three aspects of temptation. First of all, some errors in our thinking about temptation, then some areas of temptation, and then specifically our own area or our own weaknesses of temptation. The first look at the errors concerning temptation. James writes to the church, and he's urgent about this. He says, if anyone is tempted, do not ever say, I am tempted of God. He reveals to us there are some philosophies or some thinking in the family of God that are erroneous, that are wrong. And he wants to correct those things. And I see several areas that need to be corrected in our thinking about sin. First of all, temptation is not always sin. Some people would think that every temptation is sin. And there's a great guilt that comes to the family of God. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be giving you a book called The Christian Secret of the Happy Life by Hannah Whittall Smith. It's a wonderful book. In that, she deals with a chapter on temptation. And she illustrates it with several events in people's lives. She had a young lady that came to her talking about how godly she was and how the Lord had given her victory in her life. But she said at one moment in time, all of a sudden, these huge, vulgar temptations came into her mind. And her mind was thinking evil thoughts. And she said, I have never done these things. I have never exposed myself to these things. I have never in my life been tempted by these things. But all of a sudden, I found myself when I was in prayer thinking such vulgar, ungodly, sensual things that I was ashamed. And I thought, maybe I'm not even born again. Hannah Whittall Smith wisely responds and says, there is great evidence that you are born again. When you deal in prayer and temptations come to your mind, know that it's because the enemy of your soul is attacking you and wants you to believe that you're hopeless. You are worth something to God, therefore the temptation comes. Temptation is not itself sin. As we heard last week from Reverend Renix, Martin Luther said once that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. You see, temptation is going to come. Let me take a moment and look at each of you. Now, some of you roll your eyes when I say I'm going to take a look at you. But I want to look at you because as I look at you, I see you are the same as everyone else in this room, including this pastor. You have temptations that come through your mind every day. Until you allow those temptations to become the focus of your attention, and as the scripture says, until you give birth to that, plant it in the ground and it brings forth its fruit, that is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So the thought, the temptation itself is not sin. Do not think for a moment that because you have an evil thought or it passes through your mind, you are hopeless. James also says, don't say that temptation is from God. I've talked to a lot of people about their temptations through the years, and I've heard people say, I can't help it. I have this temptation, and God made me this way. Therefore, it's His fault. It's wrong. Whatever your temptation is, God didn't bring it to you. Yes, God allows temptation, as He did for Jesus. Because it's necessary that every individual be tested and Satan is attacking you. But the temptation itself does not come from God. God didn't build you and say, I'm going to give you these horrible, horrible weaknesses. I'm going to make you so frail that you can't resist your temptation. Temptation is not from God. God doesn't tempt anyone. Don't blame Him for your temptation. The third thing that is an error is that some people would like to say that temptation doesn't bother them. I had a professor in college that said that his belief was in total sanctification. That is, he said, I believe that you can reach such a point in your life when you are no longer tempted. And someone raised a hand and said, do you mean, sir, that you don't sin anymore? And he thought for a moment. He says, with all humility, yes, I no longer sin. What's wrong with that statement? It's a lie. Exactly. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. He's talking about every believer. I read a story about a great man of God. I can't remember who it was. I thought it was D.L. Moody because it fits his character. He was in a room with somebody who was claiming the same kind of thing, total sanctification. I no longer have temptations. I no longer wrestle with sin. I've reached the epitome of the Christian life. D.L. Moody listened to that about as long as he could, and as he stood there stirring his little cold drink, he said, sir, you mean you don't sin anymore? You don't have any temptations anymore at all? The guy said, certainly not. I am wholly sanctified. And D.L. Moody took the glass of water and threw it in his face. And the man sputtered for a moment, and then he started yelling, what in the world is wrong with you? Are you crazy or something? You've got me all messed in. D.L. Moody just stood back and says, I just wanted to see if it was true. Evidently, he wasn't sanctified. Or he wouldn't have had the temptation to get angry. He certainly wouldn't have gotten angry. You never reach the point of eradication of sin or temptation. The only way we can eradicate temptation is by eradicating the devil. And that will only happen when we come to heaven and when Satan is bound. And the last error is that we fool ourselves into thinking that somehow temptations will stop in our lives. That's similar to the one I've just mentioned, but some people think, I'm going to overcome this temptation and never have to face it again. I want you to think for a moment. Be honest with yourself. What is your greatest temptation? Be honest. As I was preparing the message, I thought of this question in another way. I was going to have you turn to your neighbor and tell them what your greatest temptation is. And then I could hear the congregation as someone would turn to another and say, my temptation is to punch you in your nose because it's none of your business. But what is your greatest temptation? It's time to be honest about it. What is it that you struggle with? What evil entices you? What is that evil that keeps coming back to you over and over and over again? Know this, there is victory over it, but you are never going to reach the place where that temptation never again approaches you. How do I know that? Because the Scripture says so in James chapter 1 and verse 14. He says, every one of us is tempted when we are drawn away of our own desires, our own weaknesses, our own cracks in our armor. See, each one of us has weaknesses, and Satan knows how to attack those. So we are going to have temptation. Jesus had temptation. Remember Matthew chapter 4. Jesus entered into that Spirit-filled life, if we could illustrate it that way. The Spirit of God came upon him without measure. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. He was baptized, came out of the water, and the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, and there he was to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. With that time finished, it says, and the devil left him at the end of this temptation. Period? No. The devil left him for a brief time. The devil's always going to come back to tempt. That's his job. But we will always have to struggle with temptation. The second thing I want us to look at is the fact that there are areas of temptation. Temptation has a purpose. It attacks certain areas of our life. Satan isn't interested in just getting you to think some nasty thoughts. He's not just interested in getting you to go into a pornographic website. He's not just interested in you getting so angry that you swear at your wife. He's not interested in getting you to a temptation where you take a drink or smoke something you shouldn't smoke. You see, that is purpose. The areas of temptation are not just to get you to stumble in those little areas or big areas. But the purpose goes beyond that, and that's these three areas of temptation. Temptation, first of all, comes to tempt us to forsake the Lord. That's the temptation that came at the Lord Jesus as well. The purpose of temptation is not to get you to trip, but to get you to give up and to look at the Lord and forsake Him. Temptation comes every day for us to put the Lord in second place. Most of the time when we think of temptation, we think of sensual things. We think of things that affect our body. We think of things that are perhaps the gross sins. God says temptation comes in a great array of tempting thoughts. But one of the main ones is to get you to forget about God and to forsake Him. You this morning that said, "Well, I'm not struggling with temptation." Let me ask you a question. Do not raise your hands, please. Did you have devotions every day this week? Did you find a time alone with God and go into your closet and close the door and pray to your Heavenly Father in secret? Did you do that faithfully? Don't raise your hand. The temptation to not do that is to put God in second place. To say, "I'm too busy, I'm too hurried, I've got other things that are more important." It's the temptation to get you to forget about God. Now, is it a sin for me to miss my devotions? No. But it's a temptation, because if I let it happen one day, it's going to happen two. If I let it happen 2 days, it's going to happen four. And it's going to get exponential that way. Easily, we forget about the Lord. And our temptations are geared to do that in our lives, to cause us to leave Him out, to push Him away, to put Jesus in the back seat and we in the driver's seat. That's what temptation's force is all about. The second area of temptation that tries to move us away from God is the temptation to indulge. To indulge ourselves in some self-ambition or some pleasure. That's usually what we think about when we think of temptation. That Satan is trying to get us to indulge in something that's prohibited. A.W. Tozer, that great writer and preacher, talks about the sins that are not easily defined, and he calls them the self-hyphenated sins of the flesh. They are not the sins of drug addiction or alcohol or promiscuity or sexual immorality, but they are the sins of putting yourself on the throne of your life and indulging in your own ambitions and your own pleasures. That is, you become the king of your life. You see, the agenda behind Satan's temptation is not just to get you to trip and be embarrassed publicly or get you to be addicted to some particular sin, but it's the outcome of that is that you would put yourself on the throne of your life and you would serve something or someone other than God. Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods other than me, no other gods before me. That's an area where Satan will always attack us. If you're tempted by pleasure of some kind, know this, that behind that temptation is the desire of Satan to get you to trade the lordship of Christ for the lordship of something else. The lordship of pleasure, or money, or ambition, or your job, or your family, or in some other way to enthrone him or you on the throne of your life. The last area of temptation is the temptation to get us to quit. You see, it's progressive to get us to forsake the Lord days without number, as Jeremiah said, or to get us to indulge in some selfish self-gratification that we no longer love the Lord in first place. We love something else. And the third one follows that up and to bring us to a place of total exasperation where we say, "I give up. I quit. I can't resist temptation. I keep doing it over and over and over again. I must not be a Christian. I must not be holy. Or maybe the Lord is not with me and maybe this is all just a bunch of bunk." It's exactly what Satan tried to do with Jesus to get him to give up on being the Messiah. And some of you are tempted today with giving up. It means you're discouraged. Or even depressed. You're looking at your spiritual life and saying, it's rotten, it's not successful, I'm not succeeding, I'm not overcoming, I'm a rotten Christian. And you might go through that whole scenario of badgering yourself and condemning yourself. Where does that come from? It comes from the enemy that wants you to quit, to give up hope that God can't help you. My friend, whatever your temptation, the Lord is able. Though you struggle with it and battle with it, He says He is able to deliver you from that temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, that the Lord will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able, but will with every temptation give us a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That is, the Lord is with us. He's right beside us in the hour of temptation, showing us two ways, either give in or go the other way. Either quit or say, no, I'm not quitting. I'm going on with God. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is very important to the aspect of temptation, because most of us would like to keep this in the theoretical realm. We'd like to go home from the message this morning and say, wasn't that great that the pastor talked about somebody else's temptation? Didn't you like that illustration about that so-and-so that fell into this deep sin? And see, that's not the purpose of the message. Messages from God's Word are not to entertain us, although that may be helpful to keep us awake. The purpose of the message is to result in change in our behavior. That we will recognize that that's me. I'm the one that's got the sin. I'm the one that's wrestling with temptation. I'm the one that's giving in to temptation. And so there are weaknesses in temptation. That's the third thing we're looking at. All of us have our own weaknesses, as James said. We are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust. Yeah, Satan's got the birds that pass overhead. But the problem is, he knows you got a magnet down here in your heart. And those birds flying overhead you like. And so the magnet just kind of pulls them right down, and they do make a nest in your hair. So we are tempted when we are drawn away of something in here, of our own lust. Look at the three things he says. First of all, he says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away. That word means to be lured or sidetracked. To be pulled aside, to detract you from focusing on God to something else. Every one of us is tempted in that way. There's something that desires to move us to the side, get us away from doing what God wants us to do. The second thing he says, we are drawn away by our own lust. That is, you own some lust, some desires. I want to share with you what my lusts are. But I'm not going to. Because that's none of your business. I want to share with you what I am not tempted with. Some people are tempted to be lazy. No, I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm not tempted to be lazy. Ask my wife. She's got to beat me with a stick to keep me from working all the time. So that's not my temptation. But my temptation on the other side is to work all the time. Neglect some other things. I am not tempted. Never have been, and thank God for this. Other people are. I have never been tempted to smoke. I had a sixth grade Sunday school teacher that sat around with us boys. There were about six of us, and he says, I can guarantee that every one of you is going to smoke before you graduate from high school. I guarantee it. There's no kid that's going to be exempt from that. And in my heart, I looked at him and I, no way, Jose. Number one, I can't stand the smell of stuff. Number two, I'm an athlete. I don't want to put it in my body. Number three, I'm a goody two-shoes. I'll get in trouble if I smoke. I graduated from high school and I was able to say, yes, yes, yes! Did I overcome temptation? No. Because it never was a temptation for me. But there are other things that are temptations to me. Of course, I can't tell you what those are. Well, let me give you one. I am tempted by rich, dark chocolate. If any of you want to entice your pastor, you get him bittersweet chocolate of some kind. And you can sit that on my desk or in the house and say, don't touch it. And I might get away with 24 hours, but it won't be very long before I'm saying, one little piece won't hurt me. I laugh at my mother-in-law because she's a diabetic, and she doesn't take insulin, but she's on medications, and she'll go out to eat in the restaurant with the rest of us and eat a normal meal, and then that pie comes along. She can't resist a pie. And then she says, one little piece. One little piece can't hurt. And so my heart desires rich, dark chocolate. I think there's a place in heaven where the mansions are made of chocolate. Where I can indulge in my temptation and just devour it. Oh! So there's a weakness in me. If there's chocolate around, I want it. I was really disappointed the other day. We had a funeral and then a reception afterwards and wonderful luncheon, and some of you provided wonderful cakes. And I looked at those chocolate cakes. I mean, some of those were my favorite. But I was being good. I was resisting temptation and visiting with everybody at that little dinner. And then I forgot about getting my cake and I went home. And wouldn't you know, my wife comes home with a cake. Vanilla. And I told her, that's no temptation. I have no desire to eat that. Maybe a little bit of chocolate off the top, but it's not there. That's not my temptation. Now, every one of us is going to have our own temptations. Yours may not be chocolate, but it's something else. And I can't list all of the things. So in the handout I gave you, I've listed on the back of that sheet, there's 130, just quickly put down, of temptations or sins that easily beset us. I want you to take some time today to go over that and find out where your lusts, your desires, your temptations, your weaknesses are. I'm not here to point out your weaknesses to you. You already know it. Get along with God and say, God, this is my temptation. This is where I struggle. And on the front of that sheet, there's a list at the bottom that says, my five greatest temptations, the sins that easily beset me. And in a private place, all by yourself, I want you to go through that list and anything else God brings to mind. And honestly put down before God what your temptation is. Now, chocolate really isn't qualified, so don't put that on there. But the temptation to sin or to leave the Lord or to indulge in some sensual sin or to quit, all of those things are in there. Look for your weaknesses and identify it and lay it down before God and say, Lord, here is my weakness. I am struggling with these areas. And I need your help. And I need your deliverance. And it's only when we do that that we can begin to find victory over temptation. We don't eradicate the temptation, but we can have victory over it, in the middle of it. And God cautions us about this. Where is your temptation? On the chart above, I want to show you that there are seven areas of temptation that I kind of outline from Scripture. They come from different areas. There are probably 3 to 5 of these areas that affect you. In some areas, well, you're not too affected by it. There are spiritual temptations. There are mental temptations like doubts and fears and worry. There are emotional ones like hatred and jealousy and anger. There are verbal temptations of cursing, swearing, lying, criticizing, condemning, gossip, and so on. There are physical ones that are sexual or sensual or drugs or alcohol or smoking or on and on and on it goes. There are financial temptations to put things above God or to cheat or become a workaholic or not tithe or to steal or play the lotto or whatever else you do to waste money. And then there's the ego ones, the ones of pride and self-pity and ambition and greed. All of these things are temptations to us. And lastly, I want to show you that there is a way to deal with temptation. It begins with recognizing your own temptation. If you're not willing to be honest about that, you will be badgered and beat up by temptation all the days of your life. Until you're able to write it down before God and say, God, that's my weakness. That's where I struggle most. Then you can apply these 3 things. Number 1, God says, flee temptation. If my temptation for chocolate were a sin, which it is not, if it were a sin, then I need to get away from wherever chocolate is. If it comes on TV, I need to go into the other room. If it comes out at a party, I need to make sure that I eat something else that's healthy for me. See, God says, if your area of temptation comes in front of you, get away from it. If you have sexual temptations, then don't be watching the television where it's plastered all over. Don't be looking at those soap operas. Don't be looking at movies and magazines and all the other things that promote that. You just torment yourself by doing so. That's why God says, flee youthful lust. Run away from those things. You're never going to escape them, but run from them like Joseph did from Potiphar's wife. Leave your coat behind and leave. Second thing the Scripture says is resist it steadfastly. Every time the temptation comes, recognize that it is a temptation, not just to get you to sin, but to destroy you spiritually. Therefore, Peter says, resist it steadfastly, for the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he's going to devour. We need to determine in our hearts that that sin that we put down on our list, the one of those five, or all five, those are our weaknesses. Therefore, we need to resist them continually. Never do we have a day in which we look at those and say, no, I can indulge a little bit. If your sin is gossip, you need to put a bridle on your tongue and not share any criticisms or any condemnation or any gossip or juicy stories with anyone, not even for a moment. And when you hear it given to you, you need to turn it right back and say, I won't listen to that. It's ungodly. That's what it is to resist it steadfastly. If your temptation is dirty jokes, then when at the shop or the office or at the gym they start the dirty joke, in the middle of it, when you recognize it's a dirty joke, you need to turn and walk away and resist it steadfastly. Now, those are hard things to do. They'll think you're square, you're corny, you don't have a sense of humor. So, you've saved yourself from a trap. The third thing God says about temptation and its victory is that you need to endure it. My friend, when you write those five things down, those things are going to probably hound you all the days of your life. They're your temptations, your weaknesses, your desires, your frailties. And sometimes we just have to sweat bullets through temptation. I've been reading a number of books on being still with God and getting alone in the desert places. It's been really rich to me, but one of the most rewarding things is to see great, great men of God that have taken huge amounts of time and gone alone with God in a wilderness place to seek His face and to love Him with all their hearts. And the testimony of all those men, to a man or to a woman, because sometimes they're women writing, they all say the same thing. When I am most desirous to be close to God, when I'm on my face in the middle of worship, often horrible thoughts of temptations in my area of weakness come to my mind. And those men of God have struggled with that and come to the conclusion, when that happens, I just need to rest in the Lord and endure, to hang on and let the rough parts go and let the tribulation pass. For it will come just like a bird flying through the sky, and you'll get to the other side. You know, I used to be afraid of flying. There was a period in my life. I started to fly. I loved it. And then there was some accidents, and I was on a plane that, as the pilot was preparing for takeoff, he was fooling with the ailerons or whatever those things are, Steve, you know. He was fooling with those things, and I'm looking out the window praying, oh, dear God, deliver us from evil. Oh, Lord, don't let this thing fall. And as he was doing that, I get this huge sense that the plane was going to crash. Oh, Lord, don't let it go. And he waited a moment, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then the pilot came on and he said, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to return to the hangar because we have a problem with our hydraulics. And I go, yes, 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 yes. But I tell you, flying after that was not comfortable. I would get up in the plane and we'd go through the turbulent skies and the plane would be bouncing around. I remember times when the stewardess were throwing things up in the air. It was so bumpy. And I was white knuckled saying, "Oh, dear Jesus, in the name of Jesus, deliver us. Don't let us pass. Help us, dear Jesus. Please, 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 please." And the Lord spoke to me about that, about my great fear of crashing. He spoke to me while I was in Brazil, and I was on a bus this time. And I was traveling on the bus in the middle of the night and kind of woke up half awake and not realizing I was a bus. We were going over the bumpy roads in Brazil, and I was going, blah, 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 blah. And I was half awake, and I was saying, "Oh, dear God, deliver me. I'm going to crash. I'm going to crash." And the Lord said, "You're in a bus." And I thought, yeah, I'm in the bus. Got the same feeling as the airplane when it goes over the turbulence. But I would never be terrified if they hit a pothole. Oh, I get it, Lord. I just need to endure. Go through the rough spots. Be patient. You'll get to the other side. Friend, God wants you to know that in your hour of temptation, He's there with you. If you will endure when you're tried, just hang on for dear life. You'll get to the other side, and it will be all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've dealt with some things in kind of general areas without being real specific about sins. Because we know You are the one who convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, I am not here to point the finger at anybody's sin or anybody's temptation. We are all tempted. But I pray that You would reveal to each one of us individually those five areas of greatest temptation where we have fallen over and over and where we are always tried and tested. Then help us to be serious about being delivered, dealing with those temptations in a godly way. I pray for help for Your people. For those who today may be even thinking about giving up their marriage for some temptation, that they would endure and resist and flee the temptation. For those, Lord, that are battling with some other physical temptations, that You would give them the grace to hang on. And Lord, for all of us that deal with the mental temptations, we pray that You would cleanse our minds and focus our hearts on Jesus. Our prayer today, Lord, is that You would change our heart, O God. Just before we close, as Pastor Joe comes and leads us with a closing song, every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning you recognize that you're struggling with some temptations. I'm the first one putting my hand up. I'm saying, "Lord, I struggle in my areas." Would you with me join and put your hand up to heaven? You're not putting it up for the pastor. Put it up to heaven. And say, "Lord, I struggle with my temptations, and I want to be victorious. Deliver me. Help me. Save me from myself." And Lord, I pray that prayer for each one here, that as they've been honest to lift up hands to You and say, "Lord, I'm struggling," that You would be faithful to deliver them and change their heart to a heart.